Hello, everybody. My name is Lat Mackey, and this is Sequence Break IL, a look back at conversations with speedrunners, developers, content creators, and everything in between. And for this one, the person is a content creator. The person is a speedrunner. I even think they count for some of that in between. I'm, of course, talking about Summoning Salt. And this was actually one of the earlier episodes that I ever got a chance to record way back in March of 2020. And it was episode 18. And I'm forever thankful that Summoning Salt actually said yes to come onto the podcast and talk about some things. It's pretty awesome. I've had a chance now to talk with him a couple different times. And there are so many different things that I really admire about Summoning Salt, and not just the content that he creates, but the person that he is. And what I mean by that is that you may not be aware, but Summoning Salt is a wonderful member of our speedrunning community. First of all, he's a speedrunner. And if you're not familiar with some of his accolades, just go look at the the punch out leaderboard, the Mike Tyson punch out leaderboard. You'll see him all over there at different times. He's held world records. And I think that's one of the reasons, maybe perhaps, that he's such a good storyteller in our space, is because he runs a game at the highest level that exists currently. And I think that's really cool and when you talk to him about it, I might share at some point. I'm going to share. There is a Games and Classic episode I hosted, and it was Summoning Salt, Sinister One, and Zallard One. We had the Mike Tyson punch out trifecta, if you will. But you can just tell what kind of speedrunner he is. He's very passionate about it, and it's obviously he's into it. I don't think it's something for show. I think it'd be impossible to do what he does and just be, just kind of be something. You'd be a casual fan. I think it'd be like near impossible. So the clips I'm going to share today, Summoning Salt, I'm going to share two different clips. One of them, Summoning Salt talks a little bit about his origin and kind of how the name came about to be. But then secondly, it talks about his storytelling and how that kind of has something that has evolved over time. And I think that's the thing that still resonates with me so much in his work. And that is that he is able to tell such a captivating story. And I don't even know, it's been years now that I've been enjoying his content. But to see the evolution of his content, like, it was already awesome. And then every video just gets a little bit better and a little bit better. And one of the things that I think is just even more amazing on top of that is this, like, journalistic integrity that he has. Like, it really, you can tell it gets to him sometimes when, some of the things that he reported on earlier on in his career, the times have changed, or maybe he misrepresented, he didn't have the full scope of the data at the time. And I really just appreciate how much he cares about getting it right. And then being able to, like, present that in such a freaking compelling story. I'm recording this, releasing this in August of 2022, and he's recently just released a video on Mario Kart Double Dash, and the way that the storytelling just keeps getting more and more interesting and intriguing. And I mean, this is a person who, a lot of the videos that he produces are over half an hour, sometimes over an hour, and I never feel like I'm bored. I always want more content after they're done. When I see that we're getting closer to, like, the present day or whatever, I almost get disappointed because I'm like, no, what happens next? What happens next? And I think that's one of the things that just makes him this really great storyteller. He's done so many great videos that he, over the years, a couple of my favorites, if you're at all interested in going. And my guess is if you're listening to this podcast, you're very familiar with this content, but, the Castlevania episode is the NES Castlevania 1 is one of my faves. But I think the one that's really just resonated with me even throughout the years now is the one on Matt Turk and all of these records that we're being, chased, these ILs, these individual times for individual fighters and punch out Mike Tyson's punch out. And if you just had to watch one Summoning Salt video, thankfully you don't. Thankfully you can watch any of you want, but that's, I think, the one. I mean, I've watched it three times now. Like, I believe it's an hour. It's a little bit longer, and it's so good and so great. And I'm so glad that Summoning Salt is part of our community and continues to make content for it, because Double Dash, not a game I'm familiar with, and instantly got hooked. He's picked some really interesting subjects and continues to do so. And I love the fact nowadays that when a Salt video gets released, it's almost like an event. it's like, oh man, put down everything, go on YouTube, watch the video. He usually watches them live on his Twitch channel, which I highly recommend because a lot of times he'll be doing Mike Tyson punch out stuff, or he'll be, you know, showing some of, you know, his most recent video, and it's definitely worth it. I wish I had more behind the scenes to offer. He was very friendly, very easy, didn't hesitate to say yes. And at this point, you know, the podcast is only 2 or 3 months old. So let's see, 18. So let's see, that would have been, okay, we're about 4.5 months old at this point. And so the fact that he said yes, I fanboyed out a little bit. And then I was like, get it together. We got to record a podcast. And still thankful this day that got to have this conversation and others, to say the least. And something you also may not know about Summoning Salt is how active he is in our community. Just recently, somebody in the community found this way to play Super Punch Out two player. And Zaller did a whole video, you know, he did a whole stream, and he tweets about, you know, not being able to, you know, being the quickest video editor. And Salt, with apparently not even hesitation, just grabbed the content and created this awesome video for Zaller that's on his YouTube channel now. So if you get a chance and you see that, that's Summoning Salt's editing. And you know, the person can edit. I mean, if you've watched any of his videos, you know how good the editing is. So I guess I'm just rambling and gushing. I probably sound like a big fanboy, but I have no problem admitting it. I'm such a huge fan. So anyway, also, when we're looking back at these IL episodes, these individual level episodes, the overlay, the stream looks a little bit differently. It probably sounds a little bit differently. Remember, this is 2 years ago now from recording this. And I continue to experiment with the look of the podcast. You know, I could probably put a little more effort into it sometimes. But, you know, day job, real life, sometimes doesn't always give you time to do so. So anyway, I hope you enjoy this conversation with Summoning Salt. And if you want to go back, episode 18, it's a good one. Hope you enjoy. I'm curious, when did you kind of start speedrunning, or when did you get into speedrunning? When did that whole thing start, and with what game?
So my speedrunning interest, it stemmed, you know, from watching stuff on YouTube, watching, like, you know, Super Mario 64 beaten in however many minutes, stuff like that. But when I really started to get into it was around the time of AGDQ 2014. I watched a handful of those runs when they happened live. And then I realized that a lot of those runners actually streamed on their own accounts. And there were three channels that I watched originally. I didn't have a Twitch account. I didn't really know how to get to their streams easily, so all I did was I had those links memorized and I just checked them every day to see if any of them were streaming. And those three channels were Andrew G, who, you know, Super Mario Bros. Record holder, Sinister One, who played Mike Tyson's Punch Out, and Mitch Flower Power, who's the Mario 3, watched him do a lot of Warpless back then. So and I watch all three of those guys still today, and it's really cool. That's just kind of how I got into it, was just by watching them. And then, you know, that turned into me being like, okay, I wonder if I can do what they're doing. Let me try playing Super Mario Bros. Quickly. And I tried it, and I had a lot of fun with it, and it just took off from there.
It's great to hear some of the inspirations behind some of these things, because specifically those games and those runners come up quite a bit in people's influence. And I think part of it obviously has to do with the fact that they were streaming back in 2014, when that's when I first started watching Games Done Quick as well. And so it's kind of the things that sparks a lot of imagination and creativity in us. But is there a run that perhaps you remember from early on, or something that you just like might have? It sounds like you have these specific runners. Were those the kind of games that you wanted to attempt and to try to speedrun?
Well, to answer the first part of that, like, yeah, any runs that I remember vividly, I remember, so I made a video about Mitch's, well, I guess it wasn't just Mitch, but about the Super Mario Bros. 3 Any Percent Warpless record. Mm-hmm. And there's a part in the video where I talk about Mitch got the first ever early hammer no hands run, which is like a fancy term for basically meaning he got really, really, really good luck.
Yes.
And the reason I talked about that run so much in the video is because I think that is the first world record I remember seeing live, and I remember getting really excited by it, and I was like, oh my god, this is so cool, I gotta do everything speedrunning now, this is right. So amazing. And I remember being hyped myself, like, more than Mitch was, almost. It seemed that it was crazy. But and then, yeah, like, of channels, the two games that I started really running were Super Mario Bros. Because it was short and easy and I could play it easily. And Punch Out actually came a while later, because it's definitely a tougher run to learn. And you know, the origins of that for me were basically to say, okay, I've seen Sinister One play this game so many times now. I wonder if I can try doing some of the things he does because I've seen it so much. And yeah, I just practiced and practiced and practiced, and it built from there.
When did you kind of get interested in content recreation, and what led you to create your first world record progression video?
It all ends up coming back to Punch Out. If you go on YouTube and type in Sinister One Piston Honda 2 Strategy Evolution, you will find this hour and a half long video by Sinister One where he talks about the evolution of the world record on Piston Honda 2 character and Punch Out over the course of like 10 years, how people brought it lower. But the way he did it was just on a live stream. He showed all these different videos. He talked about the strategies, went on for over an hour. Then he had a Q&A at the end for like half an hour. So it was really interesting to me as a Punch Out runner hearing all this stuff. But I recognized that probably most people wouldn't be too interested in it. And then I realized, okay, I don't know how to video edit, but if I learned and if I was to make a video just like this, but condense it down and only have the interesting stuff, like the fights themselves and quickly talking about the strategy, I could probably make this whole video in 15 minutes and it would be quite a bit more interesting to the average viewer. So I did that for Mike Tyson, the last fight in the game. I talked about that fight's world record history. And after I made it, I got really, really positive feedback and about 4,000 views on YouTube, which at the time was just insane for me. I was like, whoa, 4,000 people watched that and liked it. That's amazing. And long story short, after I made a bunch of others, that video is at about 1.1 million views today. So it caught on.
It's crazy to hear that you didn't have any experience or that you had to teach yourself video editing and everything, because one of the things I think is pervasive throughout all of the videos I've watched that you've produced, the storytelling is really strong. The elements of introducing it and making it easy for anybody to understand, whether you're a speedrunner or not, are just really strong. And I've watched the video you're talking about. I think I've watched probably all your videos more than once, and the those elements still existed. Did you think about how to construct a story or anything like the storytelling elements of that while you were doing this? Or was this just something to get the information? Like, what was kind of your approach early on?
Yeah, for the first video, I remember in like October 2016, I started working on it. And I made this Google document that I think I still have where I broke down each section of the video and put what I want to talk about in each little part. All the way through the entire video. And I ended up abandoning that first draft because I tried to edit in Windows Movie Maker.
Oh, geez.
Which, unless you're making like a slideshow, yes, don't ever use Movie Maker.
Ever.
And then like 2 or 3 months later, I came back to it with this editing software called Movavi, which is better, but, you know, still not ideal. And I did try to focus on the storytelling part of it. I knew I wanted to put a montage in the middle where Sinister lowered his record, yeah, set to Gonna Fly Now from Rocky. And I did do that, so that was cool. But a lot of it, I think I developed over time from making so many of these videos and just deciding, okay, I think this part would be cool if I just had it fade in silently and just showed what happened at the end and showed his reaction. And over the course of 3 years now, if trial and error, I think I figured out how to, you know, really tell a good story.
There are many things that I think work so well in all the videos, but one of the things that I like that you do as well is that you do show some of the challenges, and also at times you show some of the near misses. And I really appreciate it because it really shows kind of and highlights sometimes the struggles of speedrunning, and sometimes where we come so close. And, you know, like just recently I died on the last hit of the last boss on Rondo of Blood. And it's like I can feel the pain that sometimes some of these runners go through. How do you go about researching this, and how long does that process take?
The research for my videos has also evolved over time. Like when I first started, my third video was on Super Mario 64. That was the first video that I actually didn't already have the whole history in my head, because I had seen Mario 64 runs, but I didn't know the history. So my entire research essentially consisted of finding a website that listed all of the world records and then essentially just going from there and looking at the runs and being like, huh, looks like he went faster. Cool. And I talked a little bit with Cheese, who was the world record holder then and is still the record holder now. But I think he was the only guy I talked to, and I probably sent like 5 messages total to him. So basically my research was just horrible back then. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to research for one of these videos. They still turned out okay just because the stories were naturally so cool. Like, right. They're for Mario 64, Punkay missed the record like 3 times in a row due to an invisible wall that he couldn't even see at the very end of the last stage. So stuff like that. But and now, you know, it's evolved over time to now, for unless I already know a lot about the history of the topic I'm covering, which nowadays happens more and more just because I enjoy making those types of videos more. If it's a game I don't know anything about, like the Castlevania, I had no idea about the history of that game. What I typically do is I invite 3 or 4 members of the community to a Discord server, and I just, you know, over the course of a month, 2 months, we go back and forth talking, I put all this information into a Google document with notes for every single run. And that process, you know, like I said, 6 weeks, something like that, just back and forth, asking them questions. A lot of times just having them tell me what's important about each run and what I should talk about. I really rely on other people for these videos. Like, you know, people say like, oh my God, how do you find all this info? And it all comes from other people. Like I couldn't tell you how people do the two cycle critical hit on the end at Dracula at the end of Castlevania. So this information all came from other people. And yeah, I get info from them, put it into a Google document that often ends up being 10 plus pages long. And then convert that into a script, which also ends up being 10 plus pages long usually. And then record it and video edit to the best of my ability.
Thanks everyone for listening and watching. If you're enjoying the podcast, please feel free, subscribe, like, leave a comment, all that stuff people say at the end of a video. It honestly all goes a long way to help the podcast. Thank you so much. If you want to join us on Discord, we chat mostly about food, but occasionally we do talk about the stuff that's in the podcast. The link is in the show notes or in the description. Feel free. Come on by, join us. If you want to follow on Twitter, SequenceBreakPC. SequenceBreakPC. I post when I go live. It's kind of not at a set time. So if you want to see the live feed of the podcast, feel free, follow there. And finally, if you want to email podcast@sequencebreakpodcast.com. Sequencebreakpodcast.com is also where you can find the backlog of all of the episodes. It's also on YouTube as well. So feel free, join in, have some fun. Thank you so much. I will see you in the next one.